Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Blizzard Watch podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about Blizzard Entertainment's mini games and sometimes a few other things, but, you know, basically that. I'm Matt. I'm hosting along with my friends Joe and Liz, who are co-hosting. And this week, we're going to talk entirely about Daggerhearts. No, I'm kidding. I am kidding. if you listen to the pre-show, you know we just had a pretty big discussion about Daggerhearts, which is the new RPG. But we're not going to talk about that here because we've got a lot of stuff that's in our usual remit to talk about. So, first up, I'm going to say, first off, thanks to Joe for writing the email for this week's podcast, because I had so much stuff happening and I couldn't get it done. So thank you, Joe. Is there anything in here particularly you'd like us to talk about first, Joe, since you're the one that wrote the email?
Dealer's choice. You're in charge.
Alrighty. There's a campfire chat coming for Diablo 4 coming on March 20th. There's a public test realm already coming as well. I believe that's already out. It says revealed, but I'm not sure based on this.
No, okay. We know that there will be a public test realm, but it isn't out yet.
Yeah, I don't know what this public test realm is going to be. I guess it's going to be a first taste of something in season four, based on them saying this PTR allows you to get your first taste of the changes coming in season four. So that's where I'm getting that.
I'm assuming that this is going to be a public test realm in the way Diablo 3 has always had public test realms. Mm-hmm. But Diablo 4 hasn't done them.
No, this is the first one I can think of.
Yeah. Diablo 4 hasn't been doing test realms. And it feels like some of these seasons have gotten off to a rocky, buggy start, or they've had to make a lot of adjustments very early. I think getting a test realm is a really good thing. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out.
According to the article, we're going to have community director Adam Fletcher, associate game designer Charles Dunn, lead live class designer Adam Jackson, and associate game director Joe Piplora. I should be able to say that because that's an Italian name, man. I'm sorry. They're going to be talking about the itemization changes and how fixes, item stats, the Codex of Power, and more in-game systems will change the way you're going to be doing stuff in season four for both season and Eternal Realms as well. So if you're not playing seasons and you're like, so what do I care? These changes are coming to the whole game. They just happen to be coming in season four, but they will be affecting the season and the Eternal Realm. Go ahead.
But I mean, this is one of those things that's going to happen right after Ruga Crow this podcast. So by the time most of y'all listen to this, it will probably already be live. So I think we're probably going to be talking a lot about whatever itemization changes they come up with next week.
Yep, most likely. There's that. That is something that is happening. I'm interested to see what they feel they needed to change. I mean, there's been lots of discussion about classes that really need help. I play barbarians, so I'm going to say now they're going to nerf charge. They're going to nerf charge because right now charge is just unbelievably good. I blasted my season character to 100 using charge. There's the thing about charge was because of how powerful it was. There's one ability that allows you to summon several ancients to charge, and it just makes charge so powerful that no one's ever going to not use it. So I think that's going to get nerfed. That's my call. I think other classes are going to see buffs, but I wouldn't be able to tell you which ones they are because I don't play them. Just barbarian because I have a type. I don't think there's much more we need to say about that one. So next up is going to be, this one's for patch 10.2.6, because we finally know what it is. That launched today, by the way, as we're recording this. By the time you hear it, who knows when you're hearing it, but it will have been out for a few days now. We finally know what's coming. It's a PvP battle royale called Plunderstorm. And this was news to me. I just found out about this, I think, today.
We all just found out about it today. It's brand new. You weren't behind at all.
Except maybe Carbon Animations. Carbon Animations, I think, knew what was going on because they released a new cartoon way quick.
Yeah. It feels like they probably were informed. But regardless, it is about pirates. I mean, we had said it's probably pirates, and it was. But I don't feel like that was, like, I don't give us much credit for prognostication when it was a big Jolly Roger flag on the roadmap. You know, we kind of had to assume either pirates or poison. Or possibly poison pirates. Those are the things where you see a skull and crossbones. So it's live right now. Joe, you've played it, right?
Yeah, Liz and I have both played it, actually.
Well, why don't you talk about it, you guys?
Well, I'll let Liz give her first impressions, because I have a lot of thoughts on this.
So it is a 60-player battle royale. It feels a lot like a PvP Battleground, even though it's not quite the same. But I've never played a Battle Royale game. They don't really interest me. I don't really like WoW PvP, but I am very driven to this because I like transmog. There is transmog, and I must have it. So I've been trying to play this and doing it very poorly this evening. Basically, you go in, you fly into Arathi Basin, because for some reason we have a lot of PvP happening in Arathi Basin, with, 59 other players. You land at a spot of your choice, and you run around killing monsters, collecting treasures. You kind of aim for gold on the ground. You collect new abilities that you loot from monsters or maybe treasure chests. And as you go, you collect more abilities. You can level up those abilities. You can level up yourself by killing things. And that will increase your health and your damage. And of course, there are other players out there after the same treasures. And they will kill you. They will kill you, so you should avoid them like the plague. That's what I've learned. Is that this is a PvP event where you absolutely want to avoid every other players at all costs because they will immediately kill you. That's 100% of my experience. I've never managed to kill another player. No matter how high I've gotten in level or how many abilities I've gotten or how good those abilities are, I can't kill other players. It just doesn't work. So my advice for this event, log on, go around the edges of the area for as long as you can, looking for monsters to kill and looking for treasure to loot. And if you see another player, run away before they see you, because if they see you, that's usually bad. I should probably step back and say that you are not playing as your character in this. You're playing as kind of a generic pirate, which you can customize, but you don't have any of your class abilities. This is kind of a build your character as you go. You have like an auto attack and a heal button. And everything else you can do, you're going to learn as you play by picking up new abilities as you kill things. It's a really interesting kind of novel game mode, but it feels like a weird fit in WoW. And it feels like the transmog rewards you're getting are going to appeal, mostly to PvE and RP players who are going to be really into having all of these looks. But the gameplay is very much PvP. If you ever run into another player, and eventually you will, because the Plunderstorm, you can't just wander around Alterac Valley. Wait, not Alterac Valley. Arathi Basin forever. Arathi.
Does it have the kind of thing that most Battle Royals have, yes, where the arena shrinks?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
There is a literal storm around the zone, and it slowly moves in from all sides. And if you step out into the storm, it will severely damage you, so you want to keep running inward. So my strategy of running around the outside and collecting treasures only works for so long. You will eventually be corralled into the middle where other players will see you and kill you. But I've gotten to rank 8, which is pretty good, by avoiding players for literally as long as possible. But it feels like almost PvE is the most effective way to do this, because it is... collecting treasure seems to be what gives you the most renown, which is what unlocks rewards. But it's a brand new event, still figuring it out. We're working on some guides on the site, which you will hopefully see this week.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
So, okay, Joe, you got anything?
Yeah, so I love Battle Royales. I've played a lot of them. As a matter of fact, Mitch from the site and I have played a whole heck of a lot of Fortnite together in ye olden days, and have claimed many victory Royales. And I've played a lot of them. I actually really enjoy just that format in general, but this feels a little weird to me. It's a novel idea, and it's an interesting trying to like mix things up. By making sure that your character is not the one that you're porting in and that is a generic character that you level up inside of the event and match, they sort of eliminate anybody like or any balance issues because they just have to worry about balancing what's in there. Your loadout is everybody's got the same attack, period. Everybody's got the same attack to start with, and everybody's got a health barrel, which counts as your like healing recharge thing on a 30-second cooldown, I believe. And then everybody starts with a barrel, which lets you get away or crash into something for engagement. The main attack switches between a sweeping arc that hits everything in front of you, a kick, which is essentially the rogue kick. So it will interrupt things like if somebody's drinking their healing pot, you can kick them. And then it has a gun so that, you know, the rogue gun from WoW, where, you know, if you are far enough away, you got the person targeted, you pop it. They're going to go, but it's contextual. So when you push the button, it sort of cycles through them based off of what's going on around you, which is a little frustrating if you're in a multi-person combat and you can't have the ability you want. Like if a sweeping attack will knock everybody out in front of you, but one person's starting to heal. And so your bark tricks over to kick and then you kick that person and then everybody else either gets away or you miss out on those kills. It feels bad. You also... go ahead.
I thought they cycled in a specific... I thought they just cycled. I didn't realize they did anything else.
Yeah, they're contextual because they have to be. And I don't know if they're advertising this or whatever, because it's not just attack, kick, gun, attack, kick, gun. It is if nobody's around you. But if you're in battle, it will change based off of what's happening. Because I've seen it go kick, 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 kick. When I've like literally been pushing the button to hit people that were right on top of me. And maybe that's a bug or maybe that's not intended. Don't know. They haven't said anything about it. So that's interesting. The other thing is your default button for attack and heal is R and T on the keyboard, not your mouse buttons, which feels really weird as well. And I was complaining about this in staff chat because anybody who's in the mindset of a battle royale is thinking guns and is thinking, you know, my mouse button, I click the left button. It's supposed to pull trigger. Why isn't this happening? That aside, you can rebind most of the keys, but you can't rebind them until you are in the lobby or a game match, which I find suspect. Now, the part that I think is cool is that they sort of stole, and I will flat out call this, stealing because it is almost the exact same idea that was in the Battle Royale Spellbreak, which was a wizard-based Battle Royale where you had a limited loadout with elemental powers. And what you could do with them, you know, you went around, you found them. Maybe I'm a fire mage. Maybe I'm an ice mage. Oh, I found a lightning gauntlet. I'll get rid of this frost gauntlet. Now I'm a fire and lightning mage. In here, you're kind of doing the same thing with powers that you loot from either magical chests or gold chests or chests that are strewn about the area, defeating elite monsters and mobs that are around the area, or sometimes random drops. And they all have a quality to it, which you are should be very used to if you play WoW, where you have your common, your uncommon, your rare, and then your epics, epic being the top tier of it. They range in everything from turning yourself into a fire tornado, slapping somebody with a stinky fish, throwing lightning at somebody, throwing a void star reminiscent of the void elves at somebody, summoning an ice storm around you, summoning an electrical arcane storm around you, and so on and so on. I don't think I've seen them all, but you can only have so many of each type, and they're not very clearly labeled, which is a fault of the game and I think a limitation of the engine. So, but the one thing it will tell you is if something drops and it is an upgrade, it has a giant green arrow on it that points upwards. That lets you know that it's an upgrade to what you have. So that's good. But you can customize your loadout. The problem is some of them are better than others. So if you get lucky and get the firestorm early, that's, you can use it to get away from people. You can use it to engage or run through a combat and maybe hit everybody. And if everybody's low, maybe get two or three kills just by running through somebody. The fish is really, really funny and really, really, you know, not, I don't want to say good, but it doesn't really do a whole lot. It knocks somebody back and does some damage. But why would you do that when you can summon an ice storm and freeze somebody in place or, you know, waterlog them, right?
There's also an ability that literally turns you into a bush so you can hide,
yep.
Which definitely seems it's like a best in slot ability there. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's a consumable. It's not an ability. Mm-hmm. So that is a one-shot item that once you use it, you mm-hmm. can't do it anymore. Again, and that one they borrowed from Fortnite because Fortnite has the bush outfit that you can run around as a bush. And here you can literally run around as a bush. It's a cool concept and I like the idea of it, but I don't know how well it fits in Warcraft because of the limitations of the game engine. And so the other thing is like, I don't know who they're marketing it for because like you pointed out, Liz, right? Like PvPers, I don't know that they're going to want to go in here because
they don't get any tangible rewards. It's only transmog, mounts and pets.
And not only that, but they don't get to bring their character in, which they have. Mm-hmm. Usually PvPers have like a class or a spec that they tend to focus on and you don't get to do that here. And the PvEers will probably be coming in here and trying to get the transmog and stuff like that as well, which I think there's a lot of them, but I don't know if this is going to sound bad and this is not intended. Like, I just don't know any way to say it. I don't know that PvEers are going to have the requisite skills in a PvP environment to make headway. And I don't know if that's going to be discouraging or not to them. And go ahead.
I can say, as a primarily PvE player who does not like PvP and does not play battle royales, I hate it. I'm getting better at it. Maybe I will stop hating it in the future, but I want to get the transmogs and I find it very difficult. Like I said earlier, I have yet to kill another player. I've run several matches. I've gotten as high as 8th rank, which that's 8 out of 60, so I was doing pretty good. I was in the top 10 players there. But if I ever run into another player and cannot run away, I am dead. And it never feels like I have even a chance to kill them. It never feels like I'm even close. Like, I may knock off a quarter of their health, but I'm dead. And I don't know, am I bad at dodging? Am I, some skills are skill shots? Am I bad at aiming them? Definitely. Am I bad at running away? Like, I don't understand what I'm doing wrong, and I don't understand how to get better.
Yeah, that's the other thing that I think is really rough about this as well. So a dedicated battle royale has a tutorial mode, like every game does. And in, like, Fortnite, I'll use them as sort of the example because they're sort of the monolithic battle royale at this point. When you first start playing it, the first thing you do is not go into a game with live people. You're put into a game with bots. So it's you and 99 bots. And the game teaches you by literally talking to you with an NPC in game over a radio, explaining to you what to do, where your buttons are, what to look for, what points of interest are, how to get around the map, how to use your abilities. And then you play against bots that are at a very, very low AI level to sort of get you used to, oh, this is what a firefight is. Spellbreak did something very similar, and every battle, I think Realm Royale did something very similar as well. Every battle royale game that's out there has sort of a tutorial mode, I think, except for, like, I don't think PUBG did. I think PUBG did not. I never played PUBG, so I don't know. But like they tend to, at least modern ones, try to tutorialize to let players understand what's going on. This explains absolutely nothing, and you just have to go in and figure it out as you go along. And that trial by fire can also be very off-putting for people. Like you're saying, you have no clue what you're doing. Like, our staff chat today was a lot of people, what does this do? How do I do this? Where do I go for this? What is this NPC with the thought bubble? How do I get my transmogs on? And, you know, it does not explain anything. And, like, I would sorry, go ahead.
I still haven't figured out how to collect my transmog. I have no idea.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You talk to, you get it automatically. Like, you don't have to do anything to collect it. You just go go ahead.
I tried to talk to the guy and I didn't see anything to claim it. And then I logged onto my main and it's not there. So I'm just, is it a bug? Do I not understand how any of this works? I don't know.
Yeah. And like the thing is, like, the transmogs that I'm unlocking in the game are, I'm seeing them in Plunderstorm. I'm not seeing them in live. So I have no idea if that's intended, if it was a misrepresentation, or if the rewards or if they're not fully working yet, because a lot of the, with this patch, a lot of UI elements and a lot of add-on stuff got broken. It's weird.
Some of the Plunderstorm UE elements are very strange. Like, there's not an easy way to see what your renown is. You don't see when you've earned a new renown award. You've got to go, like, you can go check, but it's not evident. Like, in the main Dragonflight, when you reach a new level of renown, you'll get a pop-up saying, hey, you've reached a new level of renown. Go claim your rewards.
Yeah, can we also talk about how big the... Can we also talk about how big that damn level up screen is and why it takes up... Sorry, go ahead.
Whenever, like, as you kill mobs, you gain experience. Your little template pirate character gains experience, and you can earn levels. And whenever it does, it pops up a huge thing that says, congratulations, you hit level 2. And it fills the whole center of your screen. You can't see your character. You have to wait for it to go away before you can see what you're doing, in which period of time you may have been found by someone and murdered.
Let me tell you the joy of that popping up in the middle of the screen today in the game that I was playing right before we started recording, where I was 1v3ing people and doing okay. And then the level up thing popped and I couldn't see anybody or target anybody or do anything. So I just had to die. And that was when I got 5th on the thing. And I'm like, well, that could have been a victory. Sweet. I love this UI. This is awesome. Like, it could be really, really cool. And like, if they put more dev time into it, which I don't know that they want to, because it's a limited time event, it could be really neat. There's a lot of cool concepts here. I think it's a lot of fun. And the fact that you can do it solo or with a friend, because you can do duos, that's really fun. I'd like to see them put some more time into it and maybe do squads of 3, because I think that's like the perfect number for these types of games. Like Apex Legends. Yeah, I think that's the name of it. It's Apex. I can never remember the suffix to it. The successor for Titanfall at this point, that's Battle Royale. That game's a ton of fun, and you go in there with 3 people, right? Like, God.
One thing that's kind of difficult about it is there are no add-ons, which on one hand, okay, they want this to be an even playing
field. You
kick out the add-ons, but there's also no edit mode. So, like, in the main game, you can hit edit mode and rearrange your interface elements. So, like, you could go in and move that thing that says, hey, you leveled, and you could move it, like, way up to the top of your screen so it didn't cover your character. You could go and move the talking head box, which I also find very disruptive because it's pretty much center of my screen. And back in the main game, I don't display it at all. I've turned it off. But you can't modify those things. So it's very limited in, beyond the fact that you can't use add-ons, it's very limited in what you can modify. Like Joe was saying earlier, you can change your keybinds, but you can't bind things to your mouse buttons. So I think there are some things that are very frustrating about this that are completely based on the interface, completely based on a lack of information provided in-game about how these things work, provided in-game and out-of-game, really, because we just don't have a ton of information on how this is supposed to work.
Yeah, and I think that's really it, right? Like, it's the lack of information. And I'm not looking for hand-holding on this, but you throwing people into the deep end with something like this is a very easy way to turn people off of your very hard work and make them not want to play it.
I would like a little hand-holding. I would not object to a little hand-holding so I could figure this out.
A little as a treat, just so you know what the hell you're doing.
Yeah, because one of the things is I think the PvE stuff is probably the best way to play. But when I first went in, I was like, oh, this is a PvP thing. I need to kill other players. Except every time I run to another player, I die instantly. I don't even have a chance.
Like, there's stuff that it doesn't explain to you. Like, when you're coming in, you're flying in on a parrot, and it's like the glider aspect that every Battle Royale does. But it doesn't tell you if you land in a group of mobs, like on top of them, like if you dive bomb onto them, like you're dragon riding, you deal damage to all of them. You can insta kill a whole gaggle of mobs. And I was talking about this in staff chat. Like, if you hit the right group, or if like you see somebody fighting and like they're gathering a bunch of stuff and cleaving it down, if you land on top of them, you get all that experience. Like, you start most matches, if you can do this, at level 2.5. So, and every time you level up, you get more hit points and you deal more damage. So you want to level up, because if you come into a contact with an elite, or they do almost have like public events happen as well, where like random like special mobs will spawn. What was the name of the cash boss in Desaralore, the one that was the giant pile of gold? I can't remember its name.
I know who you're talking about, but I want to say the exuberance, and I don't think that was it.
Well, opulence.
Opulence. So there's an opulence mob in the Battle Royale. That it's the when it talks about the pieces of hate instead of the pieces of eight, because everything has to be pirate themed and then war themed. It's a public event, and the idea is to sort of gang up on this boss. But it's also PvP, so you can't really coordinate, because if you will hit everybody around you. Your abilities will hit this boss and everybody. So right now, it doesn't really incentivize you to go and kill this thing unless you're super high level when it spawns in, because you can't solo it. I think it's a little bit of a mess. I'm having fun with it, but it's a little bit of a mess. And I've talked a lot about this, and I think I'll stop. But
okay, Liz, you got anything else? Liz?
I really think we've covered my concerns here.
Okay.
Like Joe said, it's an interesting game mode, but it feels like an odd fit. And I've got to say that as soon as I heard this thing they'd been teasing, I had pretty low expectations going in. I figured it'd be a little fun thing, but not like anything earth-shattering. And as soon as they announced it was a PvP event, it was just a cloud of disappointment.
Well, because
it's not my
me.
Kind of gameplay.
Now, if they were it's to make a standalone battle royale, I'd be all on board for that, because they'd probably be at least mm-hmm. give it more time and polish. So if they wanted to do something like that, I would play the heck out of it.
But it's interesting to see Blizzard experimenting. Mm-hmm. It is more.
Am I the only one who feels like it's a Hearthstone event? Like
100% the first thing I thought.
This sounds like something they do in Hearthstone. Like they go, our new Plunderstorm battle royale mode, and then like in a few months, we're not doing that anymore. So.
I also thought that, because Hearthstone is, you know, 20 games in a trench coat.
Well, this is like WoW has decided to put another game in the trench coat. So maybe that's what WoW is doing now, too.
I mean, and WoW's kind of already doing that, because you have WoW Classic, you have Classic Era Realms, you have Wrath Realms, you have Season of Discovery Realms, you have Hardcore Realms. Or you can go play Retail. And now you can go play Retail, or you can go play Plunderstorm. So how many games are we going to cram in this trench coat? That's kind of the question. And of course, Hearthstone is also kind of infamous for rolling out new game modes and then being like, yeah, that didn't work. I'm going to throw that in the trash.
Well, yeah, this is temporary, so it does actually kind of already have that feel baked in. So.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
But while we're talking about World of Warcraft, we probably should move on to talking about, they got some new hero specializations for the War Within revealed this week.
A dozen of them were revealed end of last week, I think. But
end of last week, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I'm going to ask you guys, what, if any of them, have you noticed and want to talk about? Because there's a lot, and we can't possibly play all classes. So Joe or Liz, jump in with the one you want to talk about.
I'm going to let Liz go first.
I think you should go, Joe, because we got our first shaman specialization in this week, and I already know all the paladin specializations.
Okay, so we did get our first one, which is the Farseer, which is the elemental / restoration shaman tree, and it is currently in mock-up mode, where not everything is final, so caveats apply, but this is all about calling your ancestors to fight alongside of you. That's sort of the flavor of the Farseer. So for elemental, they help you deal damage. For restoration, they basically come and help you heal more or heal better. I don't really know what else to say about that because that's really all mm-hmm. the tree does. I'm going to be a little critical about this. These don't feel special. All of these feel like talents we've had before at some point or another, or powers that were on Azurite armor. The only one that I think is a little bit different is Hydro Bubble, which is a barrier that gets applied to people when you heal them. I like that. Everything else is just healing bonuses or a replacement for Nature Swiftness. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. It's just not very exciting when I'm seeing other classes are getting stuff that just completely, you know, reflavors things or changes things or gives them more utility or makes it more exciting. Like, I don't know how you felt about yours, Liz, but when I saw the Paladin stuff, that was really exciting to me. And it was like, maybe I'll play my Paladin when these are available because some of this stuff sounds really, really cool. And then I look at the Farseer and I'm like, okay, it's just more of the same. Like, I'm just not excited about it. And maybe that's me being jaded, but I just, if these are supposed to be more class fantasy injected back into the game, I'm not seeing it. And I'm really curious what the other triumvirates are going to be. So what's the Stormbringer going to be? Is it just going to be more damage? What's the Totemic going to be? Is it going to be like really cool totem stuff? And then, you know, or is it just going to be as a Restoration Shaman, I just get more healing totems that do other healing things that make me heal better. So I don't know. I'm curious to see how it evolves, but right now I'm just not excited. It's just more of the same.
Seems to be a wide range of variety is not quite the right word in these different specs. Like the way they're flavored, the way they work, all of them seem very different. So it doesn't feel like there's some kind of template that they're trying to hit, which is on one hand, that's good. That lets them make specs that are really unique. But at the same time, it means some of these specs feel like their power levels are vastly different, and some of them feel kind of boring. I know with the Lightsmith Paladin, it has a super cool theme where you're like wielding the power of the light to create these buff items on the ground that your fellow party members can use to do more damage or get more defense. On the other hand, that's also a frustrating one because that was one of the first hero specs revealed, and it's for Holy Paladins who have a ton of button bloat already. And they're going in and they're adding a new active ability that you have to target on the ground in the right position near the right member of your party on a spec that feels like it has kind of a high skill cap because you're juggling being in melee sometimes. And you're juggling your mastery heals people more if you're closer to them, but also you can put a beacon of light on them to make that affect the distance of your mastery. But also maybe you don't have the beacon of light talent and you're running beacon of virtue. There's a lot that a holy paladin has to balance. And I have every possible button on my keyboard that I can hit with my two hands. I have them keybound. And it's like now they're saying, okay, well, you get another active ability. Not only is it targeted, it's targeted at a place on the ground rather than a player, and it cycles between two types of abilities. And I'm seeing this is a lot of extra mental overhead. This is a lot of kind of min-maxing to target it properly. It's a ton of positioning to worry about. So I see that, and I think the theme is really cool, but I think the gameplay is going to be difficult and frustrating to use it well. And so I look at that and I'm like, that's cool. And I'm probably never going to play it unless it gets redesigned to something that I can have more control over and is easier to cast on people. One of the specs that got revealed this week that I am kind of interested in, and it may not be good, it may not be any good, is the Conduit of the Celestials Monk, which is Mistweaver and Windwalker. And what I find interesting about it is that it really leans into the hybridization there. You know, it leans into, okay, your Windwalker can now do some healing, your Mistweaver can now do some damage. Yeah, it has these abilities or changes abilities in ways that, you know, kind of give you some flex where you can go either way. And Warcraft has never done this well, but I really like the idea of a true hybrid who can, you be one spec, but you can flex in one direction or the other, depending on how you're spec'd. You could be a Windwalker who's doing damage, but maybe you can also kind of lean in and do a little extra healing if your party needs it. So I like the idea. I even dragged my old monk over into my current guild And I'm going to try and find the time somewhere to level it up and give this a try when it comes out. But I'm worried it's not going to be any good, because hybrid specs have never been any good. But I think I love the idea of an actual proper hybrid spec.
Okay. Matt, did you have any opinions?
Yeah, I'm really sorry for you guys and your classes. I'm sorry they're not good. Because we got the Slayer this week, and their whole thing is killing things. And you're just going to say, well, that's what everybody does. But no. This is about... there's a purity to this. This is the thing I've always liked about Warriors and WoW, is that they don't do... Like, I'm not calling upon the elements, and I'm not calling upon the holy light, and I'm not asking any sort of religion to tell me what to do, and I'm not channeling nature or the ancestors or the... I want to kill things, and the Slayer is just all about killing things harder. And I get what you're saying about the whole idea of wanting to be a hybrid and being party needs, and I get what Joe is saying about how some of these... things really change up a class, and meanwhile the Farseer didn't seem to be really doing that in his opinion. I don't think the Slayer does anything to change up the class, and I think it is just what you would consider boring, in that it is just, I hurt you more now. But I like it. I really like the fact that there's an actual ability called Tunnel Vision, which if you've ever played DPS in World of Warcraft, you've gotten Tunnel Vision. You're so focused on killing whatever that is that you don't move. Something on fire, but I could just hit him one more time. And I like Tunnel Vision. Your auto attack speed increases while you are in combat. Changing targets resets this effect. So you don't want to change targets. Mm-hmm. It's like a talent that rewards you for having terrible habits. Do you have this horrible habit that all deep melee DPS get? Well, congratulations, you're going to do more damage. Overpower damage increased by 10%. Fury, bloodthirst damage increased by 10%. That's boring as hell. It's just more damage. And yet, as a warrior, give it to me. I want the more damage. That's all I want. I don't want you to change how my cast plays. I don't want you to make my character have to think more. And that's the thing. Like, you're talking about, you already have button bloat lit. Mm-hmm. I think everyone to a degree has button bloat, although I certainly think Holy Paladins have more than some. This does not... Go ahead.
The really interesting thing about Paladin button bloat is when I'm on Holy, I have just every button. Every button is full. And if I switch to Rhett, I have like 6 buttons and that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
Now, that's all.
Looking at this, like, everything here is like... Your attacks have a high chance to overwhelm your target's defenses and trigger a Slayer strike, dealing low damage and applying marked for execution, increasing the damage they take from your next execute by 10%, stacks 3 times. Mm-hmm. And there's no button to push. That just happens. All the Slayer stuff is this. There's almost no buttons to push that you don't already have. Sudden Death's chance to reset the cooldown of execute and make it usable on any target, regardless of other health, is increased. So again, I'll be hitting execute more, but execute's already on my bar. Death Drive, you heal for 50% of the damage dealt by Sudden Death. Slay, marked for execution, increases the critical strike chance and critical strike damage of your next execute. It's like, it's all like that. And it's objectively, this doesn't do anything to make you feel different, right? Objectively, this is about as vanilla and boring as it gets, especially considering we have Colossus and Mountain Thane as the other two possibility. Colossus, you basically, all your abilities are about smashing through things and doing ridiculous amounts of, Colossus giant-like power. Mountain Thane is literally, I turn into a big rock guy. And this is, I stab you harder. I should hate this. Objectively, everything Joe said about Farseer is here. And yet, I love it like my own child. Because I don't want I don't want you to change the way Fury plays. If I want to change to Fury, I can go get Mountain Thane. But I want one of these that just lets Arms and Fury do what they're doing anyway and just do it harder. And that's what these do. And I think part of that is just from the beginning, Warriors have always just wanted to do what we're doing harder.
Yeah, that's kind of the class fantasy for Warriors, though, isn't it?
So, in a way, the thing that's not great for other classes, because other classes have a lot more breadth, You know, there's a lot more breadth to just about every other class. Like shaman have all these different things they do. They touch the elements, they touch the spirits, they literally touch grass. Druids, paladins, monks, even like the pure DPS classes have a lot of variation in what they do. Like, do you summon ice and use that to destroy your enemies? Do you just throw raw arcane power at them, or do you set them on fire? You know, decisions. Warriors, what do you do? I hit things. What about you, other kind of warrior? I hit things, but I hold this shield up and I hit things with the shield. And I generally just try to keep the things annoyed with me. So they hit me and I hit them and they don't hit anybody else. What about you, guy with two weapons?
I hit things. I hit things again.
Okay, so we all hit things. That's what we do. And I like that one of the two, like the heroic specializations is all about just hitting things more. Like I can actually hear like Effley Ermy in back of my head going, "Hit him again!" Or as the character I stole a thing from and used in the game recently, we were running a Pathfinder game this weekend and I used this character. I know Joe recognized it. Killer Croc in that classic Batman the Animated Series episode where he goes, "I hit him with a rock." It was a big rock. You know, like that. That is kind of the warrior class fantasy. Sure, the other, you know, being a giant who can just absorb damage or being able to smash through any defense, those are both perfectly warrior-y things, but they do kind of alter the way the class plays a bit. This one doesn't. Like when you're done with your hero talents for the Slayer, all you're doing is just more. And I love this, and I know that it's boring, and I don't care. I don't want them to try and make it interesting. I don't want them to come up with some cool new mechanic. No, F that. Hit harder. Do more damage to things. Done. We're done. We're out. This is the best preview anything has ever been. Because that's just what it is. So that's me with this current thing. This is the best hero talent specialization ever. The best hero class specialization. I am thrilled. And I don't care that it is objectively more boring than the Farseer, because at least the Farseer has a couple of new buttons to push. And this doesn't.
Technically, it doesn't. Technically, Farseer is all attachments to the buttons we already have, or it replaces a button we already have.
This doesn't even replace. This just adds to buttons we already pressed.
It's actually seems very rare for things to have new buttons to press. And Ian Hazzacostas did comment early on when this was revealed that Blizzard is aware that button bloat is a problem. They don't want to make it worse. And then one of the first specs they revealed was the Lightsmith, which adds a new button to a very bloated special spec already. So I'm like,
we're aware of it. Okay, but you know, there. Paladins, I mean, come on. Paladins just, they love buttons. They're into shiny things.
Okay, that's true. I am into shiny things, but this is a few too many buttons. I'm like macroing things together so they'll fit on my keyboard. And I'm like, okay, I may not always want to have this in a cast sequence macro and cast in a particular order, but I can't afford to have an extra button, so that's what I'm doing forever.
All right, but I think we've talked about that a bit, and we do have more stuff to get through, so
we do.
As much as I would love to talk about the Slayer for another 20 minutes, Overwatch 2 had a couple of things here on Joe's email, so I'm going to mention them both and see what Joe has to say about them, because he's the one who plays this most. Although, I'll tell you right now, the first one is something I think I'm interested in.
Yeah,
play Overwatch, this would be...
These are functionally the same thing. I just wanted to pull out the one, because I think it's a really important headline. So yeah. Go ahead.
The first one is, Overwatch 2 Season 10 will unlock all heroes for all players, regardless of Battle Pass level. Quite frankly, that's one of the things that I don't like about battle passes, that they lock stuff away like that, and having it so we get a catch up where, like, if you play Overwatch and you're playing in this season, the upcoming season 10, you just get everybody and you don't have to worry anymore about unlocking them.
There is a caveat to that. So all new heroes will be immediately unlocked when they launch. All existing heroes will also be unlocked for players. They'll no longer need to be unlocked through battle pass to be playable in all game modes. New players will still need to complete the first time user experience to unlock heroes as they learn the ropes. Once the heroes from the original Overwatch roster have been unlocked, all Overwatch 2 heroes will then become available. So you still have to go through your tutorial and you still have to unlock the heroes through the system that they have set up right now to, you know, basically teach you how to play the game, and then you get everything, which I think is a fair compromise.
Yep. And it's certainly much better than the current system. So,
although I'm very curious if there's going to be any rewards. I don't see anything mentioned here about people who paid to unlock the heroes, because that was an option you could do.
Yeah, I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you right now that I expect there won't be.
100% as well.
That's me. But regardless, that's a part of, as Joe pointed out, there's the mythic changes, challenges, and new coin stuff. There's lots of stuff coming in the future to Overwatch. So there's a bigger post that talks about all of this different stuff. Gameplay updates, mythic changes, everything. Do you want to try and give us an overview of this?
Yes, I actually want to just kind of go through the highlights. So when they say mythics, they mean changes to how you earn mythic hero skins. So in Season 10, you're going to earn, upgrade, and unlock Mythic Hero skins through the new Mythic shop, which the shop will allow you to work towards past and current content through the premium. As you get through the premium battle pass, you decide how far into each Mythic skin you would like to build. So instead of having one that you have to fully build, you can unlock basically what variations you want for a skin, so whatever color modes or things like that, and then move on to another one. And then you can take that progression and spend it towards something else. So instead of just having it be as unlocks, the battle pass essentially gives you almost like a currency to spend on those mythic skin upgrades as you see fit, which is actually really, really cool. And there's going to be more information about what that means coming forward when they get closer to Season 10, because I think they're looking for ways to make the premium battle pass more enticing without, almost like they're addressing what we were complaining about. It should be enticing rewards visually and not gaining content behind it or making people feel they have to purchase it. Mm-hmm. So this seems like they're actually listening, which my mind is blown. Season 10, you will earn coins as you go through free and premium tracks of the battle pass, and you'll get them from, it's basically like I keep calling them tendies because everybody in the guild calls them tendies.
Traders tender.
They're kind of like that. And you're going to get weekly challenges that will be more flexible to fit your playstyle, that will reward battle pass XP. And then you can, you get more coins. So they're going to increase the number of coins from 540 to 600 coins per season. It's going to make it a little bit easier. And they're looking at ways to sort of like make that more viable for people, so they don't feel like it's a slog. It honestly looks like they're doing the thing that I've been complaining about, which is how do you make the game fun again and take the grind out? Thank you. I hope that this is a good sign for things to come. I don't want to get my hopes too high because I've been hurt in the past. Overwatch, you've hurt me bad. Don't hurt me no more, please. There you go. There's your brief overview.
Okay. So that, I think overall, the thing to say about that, the thing to take away from it, is number one, it does seem like they are actually listening. And number two, there's a ton of stuff coming that I think is fascinating to see this much developed. Like, there's several new maps coming. The Clash mode from BlizzCon 2023 is coming. It's coming this year with two maps. So there is stuff coming. And I do think it's interesting that they're trying to change it up and address the concerns that a lot of players, not just Joe, but there have been other players complaining. Not that we would... Joe complaining is enough, but regardless, there were other people. So that's all pretty cool and good to know. We do have to talk about Hearthstone a bit, because first off, the anniversary event is extended until March 22nd, which I believe is like, what, 4 days from now? Yeah, 4 days from now as we're recording. It's the 19th, yeah. So I guess 3 days. But so that's to the end of this week. That's cool. It's basically the event that they've been having this whole time. But Whizbang's Workshop is live now. The current expansion, which is now out. It was the one that we've been talking about for a while. I'm trying to think if there's anything else specific to talk about to Hearthstone. Go ahead, Liz. You're a better person than me for this. Go for it.
Well, the in-game World of Warcraft event, if you're listening to this live, you have through Friday. And if you are listening to this on Friday, you probably just have a few hours to finish it. It's a really easy event where you just, you know, you go to Valdrakken and you fly up to a platform kind of above the Emerald Dream Portal, and you, on the half hour, you go and you kill some things. Whatever, you've got Hearthstone mobs spawn up there every half hour, on the hour and on the half hour. Kill things, get loot. There's a mount, there's a cute little mouse pet, there is some transmog, including Reno's lucky hat, which is, it's cool. Who doesn't want a lucky hat? So, a rush to get that if you're interested, and it's transmog. How can you not be interested in that? And of course, in Hearthstone itself, Wizbing's Workshop is now live. So you can hop on and pick up tons and tons of new cards. And because it's the 10th anniversary of the game, a lot of them are callbacks to previous cards, which is, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. The only problem is I personally don't play a lot of constructed Hearthstone these days. I'm mostly playing Battlegrounds. But I think some of these cards are so cool because a lot of them are throwbacks, like Raza the Resealed, which is a reference to Raza the Chained, a very old card which used to just own priests. You were a priest and you owned other people because you'd play Shadow Reaper Anduin, and then you'd play Raza the Chained, and you would just use your hero power infinitely to murder your opponent. So if you weren't doing that, if you were on the other side of that, you were very sad. But I think the best card in this set is the Headless Horseman, which is a new Death Knight hero. Death Knight was one of the... It's a newer class, and it didn't have a hero card yet. So now you can be a Death Knight and play the Headless Horseman and come back as the Headless Horseman. That's your new hero. And
every time you say Death Knight hero, I keep thinking of Jukebox Hero, and like it just keeps playing in my head. I'm sorry.
He's a Death Knight hero. There's death in his eyes.
Well, like even the description of the card is like a kind of Headless Horseman. Wow, it's a rhyme. It's battle cry. Destroy the enemy minion with the most attack. Shuffle my head into your deck. You must get it back. It's like, so you play the Headless Horseman, that's your hero, and then his head gets shuffled into your deck, and you have to fish it out. You've got to go and draw his head out of your deck. So it's fun. It's a fun little thing. But this is kind of the expansion of cards that are fun little things and fun little card backs to 10 years of Hearthstone. So yes, jump in, do the thing, play the game. That's all I got.
Okay, should mention the Twitch drop for WoW right now is the Fathom Pet, which seems to be related to... Go ahead.
That's going live on Friday, I believe, actually. So it's not, that is correct. It's not quite here. Yeah, in a few days, or maybe live as you're listening to this.
Yeah, it says March 22nd is on the article. That's my bad. But right now it goes from the March 22nd to April 5th.
He's got a little crown.
He's a janky-looking crab with a bunch of stuff on his back, like a crown and... treasures and so forth. Like I said, amazing. I feel like he's related to the Plunderstorm, because they even say, weighted down by all of the loot he has plundered, he could share that burden he carries, but it turns out he's a little shellfish.
He's the baby version of the glitter clam from Moana.
So yeah, that's what we got for the next pet. It's the Fathom Pet. It is a little crab. You don't hit him for massive damage. You just have him as a friend. And he has got a bunch of gold and stuff, and he won't be giving you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
So that's him. That's that guy. We are at, basically, we're almost done, and we've just now finished the news. So, we've got, I think we get time for one question. I feel like we can.
Yeah, we can try to get one in.
Joe selected these this week, so, you know, if he stole one from Lore Watch, I don't know what to tell you.
Spoilers, like, I did not.
I was like, if Joe stole a question from Lorewatch, what does that mean? But anyway, if you've got a question for the show or any other of the shows we do, we're up to three. You can send it to podcast@blizzardwatch.com with a subject line, Podcast of Blizzard Watch, if it's intended for this show. Lore Watch, if you want it for Lore Watch, or Tavern Watch, if you'd like to ask a question for Tavern Watch. Because, you know, we're more happy to answer questions there, too. You can also go to our Discord. We've got two channels in Discord. There's the Patron Q&A Podcast Questions channel, where you can ask your questions. If you're a patron, we do look there first because, you know, it's nice of you guys to make it so that we can, you know, keep doing the show. So we like to give you a little bit of extra. But if you don't have the money to support us on Patreon, that's understandable. We understand that. You can go to our just Q&A Podcast Questions channel and ask your question there. And we do tend to look there as well. Also, I'm going to point out that anything we've talked about on today's show, you can go to our website, blizzardwatch.com. Usually it'll be blizzardwatch.com/Hearthstone or /World of Warcraft or what have you. And we've got a whole bunch of posts. And that's because Liz has been working hard to back up to update our links on the site and to make it so people can more easily find the topics that are interesting to them. Go ahead.
So if you want to read about Hearthstone, it's blizzardwatch.com/Hearthstone. If you want to read about the Plunderstorm, the new World of Warcraft event, blizzardwatch.com/WoW. Your page views help the site. So if you want to read more, please do. We appreciate it.
Yeah, just thought we'd throw that out there for you. And now I'm going to find a question that's relatively short so that we can actually even try to answer this thing.
Are any of them relatively short? We always talk.
Yeah, well, no, I don't know. I don't mean will be short. I just mean that there are questions right there. Okay, question for any Blizzard. This is from Ted Semi. Blizzard, for any Blizzard Watch media, does Overwatch even know what it's trying to be anymore?
No.
Joe's answer was a no. Liz, what do you think?
I mean, it does feel like it knows what it's trying to be, and it's trying to be a somewhat generic FPS with a battle pass. I mean, it feels a little samey. And one of the great things about Overwatch when it first launched is it had such a great story, and you were intrigued by the story. You wanted to know more about the characters and the locations. Mm-hmm. And now all of that's just set dressing to the game. They've stopped releasing any story content. They've backed off on doing a story mode. It feels like they know what they're doing, and what they're doing is making a Battle Pass-centric game designed to make you log in and spend money and grind so you can get all the way through the Battle Pass and earn the rewards you already spent money for. And that's kind of sad, because it felt like something that was, you know, a kind of standard FPS game when it launched, but also felt like it had unique features. And I feel like we've dialed down on the things that made Overwatch interesting in favor of pushing a battle pass, in favor of pushing microtransactions. So it's sad. It's sad.
Yeah, I agree.
Joe, you said no?
Yeah, so I the reason I'm saying no is a little bit different. I'm not saying that it doesn't have a direction, but I think it's lost its identity. Like, it sort of had its own distinct flavor at the time when, like, team shooters were becoming popular again, and Overwatch dropped, and sort of like, it was that classic Blizzard right time, right product moment. Right. And I understand that they've been working on it beforehand, and the evolution of Overwatch is fascinating to know what it started as and where it got to. And Overwatch 1 was just lightning in a bottle, just like WoW was. And it had a very distinct feel. It had a very distinct identity, but part of that was because of the buildup to it and the world building that they did with it. Unlike the other shooters out there, of which there are many, you know, unlike Valorant or unlike any, I mean, there's so many of them, but they had a story that it presented outside of the game that made the world feel alive and made you, like Liz said, you were invested in these characters. Overwatch 2 had a chance to continue that and sort of really grasp onto that identity. And like, the design language is still there. The heroes feel unique. They feel important. The lines that they have between each other in the game are still there. There's still really cool interactions. There's like these little tiny pieces of the greatness that it could have still been. But now, like Liz said, it sort of moved away from being this unique thing that drew players in, especially players that, like, let's give Overwatch credit. It drew people in that never played FPSs before into that game. It drew people into PvP FPSs that had never had any intention of doing that. And they sort of just lost it. It doesn't feel like Overwatch anymore. But I feel like it's just beneath the surface and it's just waiting for like one thing. Like they released that video with the new Maui type character. And that was a lot of fun. It was really cool. There was a lot of neat interaction between him and Reaper and Sombra and Doomfist and everything else that was happening there. But besides that, I can't remember the last time they had anything like that. And if they released like that comic book that got canceled, or if they maybe tried to do an animated TV thing or like a limited run thing like Arcane did for League of Legends, like I feel like League has a more of an identity, has more of a knows more of what it is now than Overwatch does, and that's saying something. So my two cents. I'll shut up now.
I don't care. I mean, the reason I don't care is because Overwatch decided it didn't want me involved. We've tried not in recent months to harp on the fact that they didn't do the story mode. We've mentioned it a few times, but we haven't really back when it first came out, they weren't going to do it. I believe that we had some pretty long periods of time on this show where we would just talk about that. I don't think we want to drag that thing out of its coffin and prop it up and flog it anymore. But that's when I stopped caring. Because I cared. For a guy who can barely stand to watch Overwatch because it triggers migraines and motion sickness, I loved the game's story. I was on top of it. We did multiple lore watches talking about the story, and I was always one of the people who would go, hey, but what about this? I loved it. And then they decided, we're going to keep doing what we've been doing, and the thing that you were looking forward because it would allow you finally to be part of it, we're not going to do that. And that's something that they felt they had to do. That's the decision they felt they had to make. I'm not upset with them. Like, I don't think they're bad people. I understand that things change, circumstances change. You know, there's the old codicil of, you know, everything you see in this preview might be different later. That's a part of game development. But I'm also not a robot, except when I'm, you know, when I'm pretending to be a robot. I don't have the ability to be like excited from the time of BlizzCon 2019 up until recently, I think last year, waiting for this thing, wanting this thing to happen, being invested in this thing, and then being told, we're real sorry, but you're not going to get the thing. And so does Overwatch know what it is? Yeah. But what Overwatch is, isn't what Overwatch was trying to be. And I think that's a shame, because what it was trying to be was more interesting to me than what it is. But I feel like that sounds a little bitter because it is a little bitter, but it's not, I'm not angry about it. I'm not like, this is one of those things where what you mad? Like, no, I'm not, but I'm also not going to invest a lot of my time. I have games I like, games that are like playable by me and that I can go and do stuff in. Like I just got done playing Titanfall 2 again the other day. I play Diablo 4 like into the ground. I'm playing a lot of Baldur's Gate. These are games that I can play. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the story of a game I can't play when I know it's never going to change. And that's just, you know, there's nothing wrong with them deciding we've got all these people who play this game now and we want to make them a game that they can enjoy. And that's fine, but it's kind of hard for me to care about the story anymore. And if I don't care about the story of a game, I don't care about the game. That's just how I am. That's one of the reasons I'm still so into Diablo, despite Diablo 4 does have some pretty significant problems. I mean, I think every ARPG has problems. A lot of times the ARPGs people are playing and hyping are like, to me, are you kidding? It still plays like this. But regardless to that, it's one thing for a game to have problems, and it's another thing for a game to just feel like it's just not for you. And it's fine. I don't play Fortnite. I'm sure Fortnite's not exactly hurting, you know, and there's no judgment on Fortnite. It's just not the kind of game I want to play. Yeah. Overwatch right now is just not the kind of game that I want to play. And there's never going to be a game that I want to play. If I find out next month that they're doing like, you know, StarCraft Ghosts, but with Overwatch, I would get interested again. Because that's a single player, you know, single player roguelike type gameplay I'm into. I've played a fair amount of Dead Cells. I've played a little of Hades. I think the Dead Cells is better, quite frankly. If you play just one roguelike, I think Dead Cells is the one to play.
I agree, but that, I'm biased.
Yeah, but that's the point. We're biased, and we're admitting it. Regardless, if it's not the kind of game that you want to play, you won't be invested. And Overwatch was weird in that it was able to get you invested while not being other stuff. But once they started telling me they were going to be other stuff, I wanted them to be other stuff. So, but I feel like at this point we've talked a lot and we're a little over time. So unless either of you have anything else, Liz?
I do want to add one more thing. If anyone out there is interested, Blizzard Watch is looking for a couple more writers. One thing I would like to do is do a little more Overwatch coverage, because sometimes not a ton of people on the site play Overwatch. I'd like to cover it a little better. We're always looking for people to help us cover WoW and Diablo. We're trying to do a little more writing about tabletop gaming. And so we're looking for a couple new writers. If you are interested in that, please go to blizzardwatch.com/jobs and send me an application. I would love to work with you. I mean, probably, unless you're one of those people who plays Plunderstorm all day and harps about how good you are and makes me feel bad about it, which I think that's possible. I think there are going to be a lot of people like that out there. And send me an application. I'd love to have someone good at Plunderstorm to write about Plunderstorm, even if that'll probably be over soon. Anyway, that's all I got. Please send me an application if you're interested in joining this team of pretty rad people.
Okay. Thank you, Liz. Joe, if you don't mind.
Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch. Your continued support means that this podcast, site, and community are able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, better chance at having your question answered on our podcast with a queue, and an answery site experience.
Thank you, Joseph. To all you guys out there listening, this has been the Blizzard Watch podcast. If you've got any kind of question or comment or anything for the show, you can email us at podcast@blizzardwatch.com with the subject line podcast or Blizzard Watch, or you can hit us up on Discord. We've got the Patreon Q and Podcast Questions channel for patrons, and we've got the Q and Podcast Questions channel for non-patrons. So multiple ways you can contact us. If you happen to be telepathic, I mean, go ahead and send your thoughts directly into my head. I can't promise that I won't just think I'm going mad, but, you know, hey, it's, you know, already kind of something I think about. So regardless, again, thank you so much for being here. This has been the Blizzard Watch podcast, and we'll be back next week.